Hello, everybody. This is the first episode of You Had to Be There. This is a podcast developed and created by Alexander Fulmer, myself, and Colin Norris, my buddy right here next to me.
The only reason you went first is because it's alphabetical.
It really is, even though last name's still alphabetical, too.
Yeah.
First and last. I'm just winning right now. Today, actually, as odd as it is, on the first episode to have a special episode, that's what we're doing. We have three special guests with us on the first episode, and we're actually recording this live from the front porch of my parents' house at like 9 o'clock at night, so you're going to hear chirping and stuff from crickets and whatnot and cicadas and probably gunfire in the middle of the burbs in Winston. But we're going to go ahead and throw it around the horn for everybody to introduce themselves, starting to my left.
I'm Chris Nielsen. I play rhythm guitar for a indie dance punk band called Time Machine Drive-By. But I'm very interested in a lot of things outside of that, I suppose.
I'm John Michael Thomas, and I'm interested in everything. I don't know how else to explain it.
I'm Kevin Merrill. I work at Stormcrow Comics, and I'm also a college student, sort of.
Oh, yeah, as me as well, but taking the year off. I forgot about that part.
You didn't tell me you were taking
the
year off.
Yeah, I'm taking the year off, earn a little bit of money, because, you know, college loans are a total bitch.
I told you have to clear life decisions like that with me first.
I didn't. It was a mistake.
I took a year off with Palmer the first time he took a year off.
Have you been still off? I was about to say, have you been back?
No.
The year off turned into the perpetual year.
Well, you know, started a band. You know.
Yeah, yeah. We're not doing an Earth year. It's the universal, like, cosmic year.
Yeah, it's a cosmic year.
It's a Gallifreyan year.
It's a Gallifreyan. Yeah.
They don't exist. Get it? That's the joke.
So the way this podcast really is going to work is it's going to be pretty free-form. We don't really have a whole lot of agenda. Some weeks we will, some weeks we won't. For the first one, we really just decided to kind of put it out there so everyone can kind of get to know us and some of the more frequent guests we're going to have. And the three guys we have here today are going to definitely be some of the frequent guests we have. In fact, Kevin has a podcast of his own, and I'm actually going to go ahead and let you plug that right now.
Okay, yeah. So the show I do is called The Three Beards.
Which I'm mad that I'm not on that, because that's not fair, because yeah. My beard is glorious.
Yeah, well, I'm like... You're kind of catching me with my pants down. I shaved not too long
not
ago.
Not yet.
But
we'll get there.
Soon.
Yeah, soon.
Why did everybody shave for Beard Day? That was like, what, 2 days ago? And everybody
I trimmed.
I got yelled at.
I trimmed on Beard Day.
I got yelled at work. They were like, you have to shave. Anyway, sorry.
No problem. But yeah, you can find us on iTunes. We're also on podcastpickle.com. Let's see, where else you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Three Beards Podcast. And should I go ahead and mention the network?
Yes, yeah, please do.
Okay, yeah, so if you go to 336casts.com, you'll find a brand new website that I set up sort of as a hub for multiple podcasts that are all kind of being recorded in this region of the world. It's called the 336 Podcasting Network. It'll host The Three Beards. It'll host You Had to Be There. It's got my really, well, not really old, but my older podcast on there. There's probably going to be some other new ones not mentioned that just aren't even in existence yet. Because I know I certainly have a couple ideas for some other podcasts I want to do.
As well, actually, yeah, I'd like to do a couple that are not this one every once in a while, like once a month, maybe figure out another one to do as well.
Sure.
And actually, we got a couple friends, like Scott Burton has one.
Yeah, Scott does.
Scott has one, and he actually was a subscriber to our first one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I found our old page last night. We had an old podcast that was called Why Not Weekly.
Well, now I feel like a dick.
and I actually went and checked the page last night, listened to the first episode again, which was good for the first half until I started drinking more. And then it really just kind of shoveled down.
Yeah, I guess officially this is my first released podcast since the other one went to shit.
Dude!
Oh my god.
That was so bad. Like, I've been wanting to do radio-type work and podcast-type work with Chris for a long, long time. Because he's done radio in the past and he knows podcast etiquette, radio etiquette, things like that.
We're actually going on the radio again here soon, I believe. I'm so excited about it.
Back at WUAG?
Yeah.
WUAG is the local UNC Greensboro radio channel, for those of you who don't know.
Very cool.
But I've been wanting to work with him for a long time, and we finally got the chance. And it was right before my birthday. We did it twice.
Well, we told everybody, like, we're going to record a podcast. Please be just modicum of respect. And all of a sudden, our sassy gay friend just walked by. I was like, y'all, bitch. It's like, just cut it off.
Yeah. Just at that point in time, we were like, we're gonna have to cut this one short. Like, and we tried for like another 30 minutes to try to keep going. Right. But then everyone else, right before a party, started to pile in drunk and just scream in the background.
I was in a spandex bodysuit.
I was gonna say, yeah, you know it's bad when you're taking shots on air and everyone's already dressed up like a wizard.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were going to a wizard party. The one we tried to do that before that was there were 7 people. And only, like, 3 of us had ever done radio or podcasty type things.
Yeah. And me and Joe Massa sounded way too similar to differentiate between the 3 of us.
Oh, that's my biggest pet peeve sometimes. Yeah. It's like, you need the lower third, but you can't do that on the audio.
And the thing that we had that was really kind of, other than the fact that we have a friend, Joe Massa, that he doesn't really hang out anymore or anything, but him and Colin on podcasts or on anything recorded at least sound so damn similar.
You cannot tell a difference.
And it's really hard to distinguish, and it was kind of a bummer, but it started just digressing into this horrible, like, just medium of people just being like, bruh, 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 and just jumbled pile of horseshit.
It was a bunch of meme spewing, too.
Yeah.
Which was like,
Speaking of that last one, I probably should have proposed this in the pre-show, but I didn't because I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
The crawl got postponed, so if you guys still wanted to do the crawl recording, that would be...
Oh my god, I don't even know if I want that committed to data.
See, because I thought about also, like, setting up a camera for these as well, because we had talked about when we were doing the D&D thing, Four of us in this group actually had played D&D together before.
And you guys play D&D at all?
I play D&D.
You play D&D?
I win once.
I mostly run D&D.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a good time, though.
Yeah.
Well, it was a lot of fun.
I actually have been meaning to get another game together, just something a little bit more casual and something more slow play.
D&D is the bane of my existence. I hate fantasy stuff so much, but I love role-playing, and it's the only game anybody ever wants to play.
No, I'm writing a vampire game right now.
And I'm so excited about okay, we'll talk later about that.
Because we had mentioned that there was a group that had their D&D game recorded and podcasted and videoed in the whole nine, and they had a ton of people following it, and people would send them, like, requests and suggestions, which, by the way, I'm actually setting up the website, but the email and stuff for tonight. Sure. People listening, every single time you guys listen, you are going to be able to send us comments, requests, questions, anything at all, and we will address it on the very next episode.
Nudes. We'll take nudes.
I'll take...
Dude nudes, lady nudes.
I'll take them. If you have a shaved dog, I'll look at that. Yeah. That's fine.
That's a new euphemism.
I don't know how I feel about it. That one's going to be on the yes or no scale for a while. I'm going to use it in front of a girl, and I'm going to get hit.
Probably.
we're going to take pretty much anything at all in terms of comments, questions, suggestions, and all that. I'd really like topics as well, because as much as fun as it is to do freeform stuff like we're doing tonight, it's good to have agendas and whatnot.
Seems kind of masturbatory.
It does. It's basically getting on and being like, listen to me and my friends.
What is podcasting if not ego masturbation?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love listening to that, but it's kind of voyeuristic to be the listener on that podcast.
Yeah, little bit.
I kind of
want to
wave at Steve.
we're sitting on my porch, literally, like, right in front of a giant window that my dad's watching football in front of. Football is still on. I believe right now the Giants are playing the Cowboys.
Colin, football just started. Where have you been?
No, I meant, like, on the television today. I watched football all day at work. Thank you.
Actually, my dad's going to be a guest in a few weeks, I think.
My dad's going to be a guest as well?
His dad's going to be a guest as well. So, yes, we will take the whole spectrum of ranges.
The Department of Redundancy Department.
I'm an English major.
Spectrum of ranges, that's like the Z-axis.
Yes. I'm good. I'm going to stop.
I never passed high school math, so. Yep. I had to blow my teacher, and it was a woman.
That was a weird conversation afterwards. White.
White person struggles.
So I imagine, like, it's been a while since, I mean, obviously Kevin has never sat down with this group of people, but it seems like it's been a while since a group of people sat down, so it seems like maybe it's,
the three of us together, at least.
I can't talk. I assume that this is kind of turning into a, going to turn into a little bit of a catch-up session.
With it absolutely
cool
will.
Stories,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
It absolutely will.
Actually, a funny thing about the cool stories notion, I was talking to Kevin outside of Stormcrow on Friday, and he was asking me, like, who out of me and Colin did what better and all that, like, which one of us was, like, the analytical guy and all that. And then he was telling me about what he does on his podcast. And I remember you saying, just don't ask me to tell a story.
I'm terrible. Like, I'm the guy who... Okay, so the name of this podcast is You Had to Be There, right?
Yeah.
When I tell a story, you had to be there just because I'm butchering it every single time.
I'd like you to prove that right now.
Well, I could tell you about me being at McDonald's earlier.
Do that, it.
There was a... Okay.
Do it now.
Unanimous vote.
So you just want, like, the straight story? You want me to, like, really...
Sell
it,
dude.
Okay.
Sell it.
So
we'll interject and make up parts if they didn't happen.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah. All
right, all right.
Nobody's going to know.
Yeah, so I'm on my way here, coming in from Lexington down 150. And there, along that path, is a Sheetz and a McDonald's side-by-side right off the road. And I decide to go into that McDonald's, and there's, like, 20 people in there waiting for food. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be a minute. Well, a minute turned into, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, before I finally got my food. I was cool with that, but roughly 3 or 4 minutes before I got my order, there was, like, this guy who was, like, Danzig height, right? Like, he's, like, 5'4" or whatever, and had, like...
Danzig
the,
bro?
Yeah, and had, like, the attitude to go along with it, because he's like, I want to speak to the manager. What's your name? Oh, it's Crystal? Sorry, Crystal.
Calling Crystal out on the podcast for
names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Her name is Monica.
I want you to look and see how long it took to make that order. 300 seconds? Well, that was the second time, because this guy over here already gave my food away to someone else. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Okay, all right. And then another minute goes by, after a couple people make a few jokes like, oh, wow, I really, really hope they got it right. I don't want that guy coming back in. And apparently it's a thing where, like, everyone's food was taking longer than normal. But I couldn't help thinking, like, I'm the only one that doesn't have a problem with this. That at least is, you know, isn't at least acting like they're outraged. Because, I mean, maybe that's a social thing that some people felt like they had to do. But it's like, you walk into a restaurant and there's 20 people there, it's going to take a little bit longer than it would if you just had it to yourself. So I finally get my food, and I'm walking with the tray.
It's the first time McDonald's has ever been fresh.
No, it was hot and it was delicious. But I'm taking my tray. And I go over to the fountain, pour myself a Coke, and I look down at the receipt, and going back to the 336cast.com, this network, my order number is 336. I was like, oh, yes, this is going to be a beautiful night. But it was one of those things where, like, I looked down and, like, I just smiled and kind of looked up and around, and I was the only one smiling in there. It's just one of those things you had to do.
You know what? That's actually
a beautiful moment.
That wasn't a bad story.
That's not a bad story. And you tell it just fine. Okay. The reason that I actually laughed when you said that the first time was the best podcast that I've been a part of was actually with John. And it's amazing that it was so good because there were six of us.
Okay.
And I listened to it the other night. It's an hour and 45 minutes long and it's beautiful.
Is that including Tom?
Okay. And you can hear Tom from the other room. Too Tall Tom from the other room is just screaming. Oh, he's six.
Tall.
He's like 6'7" or
something.
What's
his band's name? He needs a plug. They're good.
Oh, God, yeah.
I can't remember.
It better be Too Tall Tom.
No.
That's an awesome band name.
It's a really good name, too.
I assume you guys will probably let him know, like, next week or something.
I'm going to text him in a minute, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then you guys get to hear my terrible ringtone. I just figured out how to turn any audio on my computer into a ringtone.
Oh, man.
So
you finally figured out
how to do that. Oh, God. It took me 2 hours to figure it out.
Me so, at 4 a.m. about it. I was like, I don't know. I don't care. I have to work at 10 a.m.
I've got the Proto Man whistle as my text tone on my phone. And so, on the way over here, I was listening to this band I just found today. They're called General Fiasco. Pretty good, really poppy, but still a lot of musicality. And But so I was just in the car, and then everybody was like talking, like, oh, when are we meeting up? Where are we meeting up at? And like, meanwhile, I'm trying to keep track of my GPS because I've never been here before. And like, every 5 seconds, I just hear Proto Man whistle. And I can just think of like the level of Mega Man where Proto Man just keeps dropping down, like, no, you took a wrong turn, you idiot. You're supposed to turn left there. Like, oh, thanks, Proto Man. I just wanted an E tank, and now you're just going to chastise me for being wrong.
But the reason that I actually brought that up was because during our podcast with him, and there was six of us, and the one of my favorite parts of the podcast, other than John's rant about...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Well, I'm going to let him... Watch. What about what?
No, I'm going to let him do it again tonight.
I was going to say, who's the producer? Hit the tape.
But I'm going to let him do it again tonight, but there is a rant he has about a particular anime that I love. And the way it came up is we were talking about bad movies and how certain people are like, you have to watch them a second time.
Right.
And how most people are like, I don't want to do that. It was a bad movie. And I'm going to let him bring that up later. But my other favorite part of that whole podcast is our friend Eric. He's talking about a game of Halo he was in. Him and another guy that was there, David, his best friend, they were playing a game of Halo together online, and there was 8 guys in the game.
Yeah.
And at the very beginning of the game, one of the guys was like, guys, let's not fight. Let's do story time. So there's 7 dudes, and he was like, one of the guys wanted to fight, and he kept coming over and trying to kill us, and we just all turn and blast him.
Can we pitch this to Machinima?
I would actually like to do that as well. But we, oh, okay. And just, I got the text back from Tom. His band's name is the Real Bads.
That's right.
And it's I don't know how we ever forgot that.
And it's such a good band name. So Eric was talking about, like, how, like, they all get up and tell their stories. And he's doing it with this terrible melancholy look on his face. Like, something bad's about to happen. And he was like, David got through his story and it was great. And they're like, you're just making up stories.
Right.
And it's not like true stories, but you're just making them up. And then it was my turn. And I got up, and we were on the little box, and I blanked.
they're standing on top of a warthog, soapbox preaching.
Yeah, they're just soapbox preaching their turn in story mode. And he's like, and I got up there, and I just blanked.
I can just imagine this in Blood Gulch or Coagulations, just standing at the top of one of the bases, and like just all the other people are just like looking up like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount.
But the best part... It's the end of the story that got me the most, because he was like, and then they decided to boo me off with grenades. and it was just, it was the most beautiful end to a sad story, because you could see the look of defeat in his face. He was just like, but at least there was a guy after me. But when they threw the grenades, it was like a perfect opportunity for the guy that wanted to kill us to come in. So it gave me just enough time to slink off the fucking stoop. And like not have people staring at me anymore.
Oh, God.
But it was the perfect story.
Suddenly you kick all your teammates off of the game and it's just you against 4 people.
It just made me really happy to know that Eric's not the only person that's experienced that in his life.
Eric's the best at telling stories that end poorly for him, isn't he?
I do agree with that, because... And, like, when I first met Eric, we called him the best man we know. And because he really, like, he was just the nicest guy ever and just a super sweetheart.
Well, fuck you.
Colin, let's not delude ourselves
here.
Dude,
you don't understand.
And so, like...
He's not the one who fed a stray cat, and that's all I'm going to say.
That cat just keeps coming back, doesn't it?
It does. The cat came back the very
next
day.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, that's a story we'll talk about later, probably. Not on the podcast. But, Eric has this beautiful penchant for being just the nicest guy and able to tell stories that just tug at your heartstrings. Right. Because they always end with him in a shitty predicament. And you're just like, oh, but you're so sweet. Why? And you just feel bad.
So it's like the the old adage, like, and then I found $20. But
yeah.
But then you don't hear the next step, which is, and then when I went to spend it, it was counterfeit.
Right. Oh, man.
Oh, I've got a funny story from work today.
Go for it.
I work at a local country club. In the county that we live in.
It might be named after the county.
It might be named after the county.
May or may not.
May or may not. We're gonna throw that in.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
It's up to you, Governor.
So I had to work. I had to work double today, double brunch, and then dinner tonight. And
double brunch. I want double brunch.
A double brunch.
Is that just like four strips of bacon and two eggs?
No, it's two waffles with a fried chicken breast, and then scrambled eggs on top. No.
That sounds a lot like a Dublicious sandwich.
It does.
Oh God,
Sam, I'm hungry now. Thanks, Chris Nielsen.
The double damn down.
I did the double down challenge, and I've regretted it ever since.
I never recovered from that moment.
Wow, that's like chickenception, dude.
Yeah, it's bad.
I ate two double downs in 20 minutes. When I was living by myself, I didn't really have a whole lot to live for. I was chasing it with Mickey's malt liquor.
Like, dude, I can eat 10 saltines in under a minute easy, but that.
The Indian feast challenge.
I can do the cinnamon challenge all day, but that'll take it out of you.
Anyway, I get to work, and we have a patio out back. And so I look at it, and I go, all right, so-and-so's in this part, and Colin, patio. It's like, I went to my manager, I was like, there's not any other names with me on the patio. I don't know if that's a typo or a spelling mistake. I just forgot that other people worked here, but it's really nice outside, and it's a Sunday, and you're going to put me on the patio by myself? And he was like, yeah. Long story, like, smash cut 20 minutes later, I have eight tables at one time, and I'm just like,
Lord.
Blood is shooting out of my nose, and I'm irritated.
Like an anime kid seeing a naked girl?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wait, you just buried the lead. Clearly the story is why blood was shooting out of your nose.
I'll tell you what made the blood shoot out of my nose. So I've got eight tables, and I walk up to this gentleman, older gentleman, and he says, what are the soups today? And I said, well, sir, we've got our chilled gazpacho, which comes in a bowl or a cup, and we've also got a butternut squash bisque. Ooh. And he says, you don't have chili? And I'm thinking in my head, an octogenarian piece of shit, if we had chili, I would have said chili. But instead I go, no, sir. Also in my head, I'm thinking, it's 85 degrees outside. In the South, in September.
It is not chili.
No.
Wrong.
But I will go pour you your fifth cup of scalding hot coffee.
Oh, God.
I guess you really had to be there. Hey! Bringing it around.
Me and Colin actually work together, so you'll probably hear some stories about our work experiences and stuff. We've actually done about 20 and some change minutes here of just doing introductory type stuff. If we want to hit a topic, we totally can.
I was going to say, I have a great... If we're doing You Gotta Be There stories, I have a good guy.
Okay, actually, sure. Yeah, since that's the theme of tonight, absolutely. Let's do it.
And this is kind of the opposite.
Is there a chance that either one of us were there?
Oh, no.
Okay.
This is recent. Okay. So recent. Well, so first of all, we just got off tour a couple weeks ago.
Don't talk about it, because I couldn't go.
Yeah, I'm so sad. But that sounded sarcastic. I actually really am sad.
I really did. I heard it, and I was like,
bitch.
Especially because it was one of those things, you get off tour and everybody's like, oh, what happened? Like, you have to have some crazy story about being on tour. But it's just one of those, it's just real grueling, and it was just like, hey, let's get to the show, let's go to bed, let's do something. And I met a lot of cool people and stuff, but there were a lot of opportunities. Like, the guy we were staying with in Brooklyn, he was trying to take us out to a nightclub at about, like, 8 a.m., which I don't even know how that's a nightclub still, but
it's an after hours club. That
it's the breakfast club.
It's a dog club, really.
You were going to the breakfast club.
Yeah,
that's okay.
But so that could have been a great story, but we were just exhausted. But so the reason I mentioned that is I got back in town and this tour just took it out of me. And so I believe it was the day after I got back, because the day I got back didn't exist. And
it's a figment of everyone's imagination.
It got stop lost.
I like to think of it as like the 60s. Like, if you remember it, you clearly weren't there.
That's actually a beautiful analogy.
Yeah.
I appreciate that very well.
But so, I got back and my buddy is like, I went over to my friend's house and we drank a couple beers. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is a fun thing. I'm about to fall asleep. My friend's like, dude, you have to go out with me. Like, I'm going to this place with some people you never met before. They're really cool. I promise you're going to love it. I'm like, dude, I'm so broke. Like, we just paid, like, $200 in tolls, like, yesterday. Like, I can't do this.
I don't remember this this toll under this mountain in West Virginia being $38 last time I came through.
Yeah, no, it's insane. And, but so, he's like, okay, well, we're going to go out to this bar. And, Hey, what the hell? It's called the Buckhead Saloon. It's in Greensboro.
Oh, I've heard the Buckhead.
It's actually a cool place. Like, you walk in, the left side's a restaurant, the right side's got a bar around the length of it, there's a stage at the end, and it's, kind of like a Longhorn. Like, if there's, like, a locally owned like Longhorn, it'd be like that.
Yeah, right.
And so, they were doing live band karaoke, which is pretty cool.
Actually, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Really cool. Yeah. They had a band set up, they had a list of songs, you just get up there, sing the songs, so they're playing them, they had like a PowerPoint up there with the words that they click through. And
I'm sorry, a PowerPoint? Really?
Yeah, imagine somebody standing with a MIDI, like, with a fucking...
Well, normally karaoke tracks, the words are synced up to the music, and since it's a live band, they just have a PowerPoint they click through.
It wasn't even PowerPoint, it was OpenOffice that someone downloaded earlier that day.
Actually, it's the only time it's appropriate to stare at the PowerPoint you're presenting.
It's an iPhoto slideshow.
Which, by the way, yeah. I have a beautiful rant about being shitty at PowerPoint.
What was the angle of the screen with the PowerPoint? Because I just imagine it was like...
Oh, it was!
It was like 45 degrees up.
It was
on the stage just like not looking straight above the audience.
Dude, it was basically like... It was like right above my head. Like, I'm looking like straight up in the air. Like, trying to look cool because I can't sing worth a darn. But, you know, I play in a band so I can rock some karaoke. And I'm just... Meanwhile, everybody's staring at my Adam's apple. So, me and my buddy, we'll call him Brian. To change the names of the innocent.
And, there was nobody innocent in the story.
No, like, there was really not. There are no innocent parties in the story. And so, Brian...
this is good as well.
I'm going to trip up. I'm going to call him by his real name.
And I'm going to be like, oh!
So me and Brian got up on stage and we sang... what Weezer song? Say It Ain't So. It was cool.
That's actually my favorite Weezer song.
And I loved it. The goat version's even better.
Yes.
But,
Say It Ain't Goat.
So, we do that, and we're sitting at the bar. His friends aren't there yet. So he's like, I'll tell you what, I'm going to buy one tower of beer, like, to get you through, and then my buddy's going to show up. He buys drinks for everybody all night. Cool. So, we drink some. This dude walks in, and I honestly can't remember his name, but we'll call him Husband.
Husband?
I like it.
Husband.
I'll take it.
He's Husband.
And so Husband walks in with... Wife.
Okay.
All right, now it makes much more sense, and I'm not as satisfied by the name Husband.
Yeah, it's like what happens when I play The Sims. Like, I'm just really not creative with names.
That's me in any Elder Scrolls game.
I name every guy Jack everybody.
It's like the first page in the Bible where it's like, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. It's like, clearly my Bible's missing pages, because I don't know any of these people.
That's the hardest part of any fantasy, any name your own character game, is like, I get to the character creation, and I get to the name, and like, I'm like, oh god, no. How? I can't do this.
See, after playing years and years of MMOs, I have stock names that I just recycle.
Well, I used to do name generators, and like, ooh. I got such great names as Slimy Mexican and Amigo Verde. So
sounds like Anthony Weiner's online persona.
Yeah, look me up on WoW. I'm like level 4. It's great. I wish that was a joke. So Husband starts buying everybody drinks. He comes in and he buys like 2 rounds of shots off the get-go. And he's there and he's got, he has another girl who we'll get back to. I don't want to give her nickname away yet. And then...
I'm going to go with Trollop.
We'll call her Trollop for now. And then the third girl we'll call...
Eventually it'll turn into daughter.
A third girl we'll call Friend.
Okay.
So, Friend, Trollop, Husband, and Wife are there, and I'm getting to meet them, and I'm talking to Trollop because she's kind of cute.
Well, and, she is a Trollop.
Yes. And so, a little while later, Brian, me and him are outside on the patio, and he's talking to me, and he's like, hey, bro, like, I just want to let you know there's been some problems between Husband and Wife. All right, cool. Like, shouldn't be a big deal tonight. We're all here to have fun, but don't worry about it. All right, dude, got it. So we walk back.
I know the nickname now. I've got it in my brain, and I'm pretty sure I'm right.
And so we walk back inside, and just to fast track a little bit. Oh God, I can't skip this part. I walk in the bathroom with one of our other friends who was there, and there's this guy standing in the bathroom, and he's like, "Oh, you guys can go ahead and pee in front of me." You sure, man? Like, this is a line in the bathroom. Like,
the way you said that made it sound like he was like, you guys should pee while I watch.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, okay.
I mean,
so
if that's what you're into.
I'm like pissing in this urinal, like looking behind me, like my friends over there still talking to the guy.
I have my offhand on my butt.
And so somebody comes out of the stall. There's a stall in the urinal. Somebody comes out of the stall, and my friend's like, dude, like go ahead and go to the bathroom, like if you have to go.
Right.
And so he's like, no, I can't go. What? We got prostate problems. Dude, what? Like this is what you have to look forward to when you're older. Like, dude, you obviously have to pee, go ahead and pee. He's like, no, I can't pee at all. Like, okay, cool, thanks.
So I just like hanging out in the bathroom is what he's telling
you. Yeah, dude, like, I don't know.
With my flip camera.
I hope I'm never in the position where I have to be, like, constantly 5 feet away from a urinal in case I have to pee. Like, that just sounds like a nightmare.
He's come there to share his problems with you.
I get that so bad. I get that so bad. So,
Prophet of prostate doom hanging out at the bathroom. You want this?
He's handing out fucking pamphlets.
This is your future.
Riffing on that robot, the Robo Chicken episode. He's just wearing Optimus Prime helmet.
Yes.
So me and Brian, not, are out in the patio. And he goes inside. He's like, oh, man, I gotta piss. I'll be right back. So he goes in the bathroom. There's a lot of peeing. It was a lot of drinking, so there's a lot of peeing. And
like you do.
I go to walk inside to try to find Brian, and I see him walking out, and he just has this look of, like, horror on his face. He's just like, and I'm like, what? I wish I could see this. And, but so I'm like, dude, this is bad. And so we go out to the patio again. He's like, bro, husband and trollop?
Yeah.
We're fucking in the bathroom.
So oh. I knew, so in other words, in my brain, what her nickname was in your brain is homewrecker. Am I right?
I was actually going to say girlfriend.
Oh.
Because this is not the first time this has happened.
Is there a female form of cuckold?
You've been cuckolded.
Cuckoldus?
But so he tells me this.
It's plural.
Cuckoldy.
On the patio. Okay.
Cuckoldy.
And he's like, bro, they were fucking in the bathroom. Like, she's been thinking this has been going on for a while, and I just caught them, like, red-handed. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that sucks, man. He's like, no, you don't understand. As I was walking out of the bathroom, wife was walking into the bathroom.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, good God.
Yeah.
That's when you just so bail, bro.
A couple minutes later, wife comes out and walks out on the patio with us. And it's just like chain smoking, right? Just like completely in denial of what just happened. Meanwhile, friend is talking to me, like trying to hit on me. And is like, oh, by the way, I'm still married, but I'm going through a divorce, so this is okay. Like, what? And so I'm trying to talk to Brian, and I've got my arm around her, trying to get her to just, like, shut up. And then, meanwhile, I turn to look at wife and talk to wife, and she starts trying to make out with Brian while my arm is around her, and she's going through a divorce. So, that's a thing. So, at this point in time, husband comes outside, okay? And wife's talking to husband, like, oh, hey, what's going on? I don't know, you know, just out here smoking a beer, drinking a cigarette. And so then they have some songs coming up, so they don't leave yet, because they've got to do karaoke.
Yeah.
And so, so then girlfriend walks out, and wife is suddenly like, hey, dude, let's go. And he's like, nah, like, we're still drinking, everybody's having a good time, let's hang out here. And then she says, no, like, all three of us, let's go home. To which he says, no. And I'm like, what? Dude, like, perfect escape plan, like, you can get out of this while you still can. So he goes inside, he sings his song, which is ironically that Sublime song, Love and.
Is what I got.
So that's what he's singing, which is hilarious in the first place. He gets off stage, smells goes up, and then the friend, the girlfriend, and the wife all walk up on stage together and sing that Carrie Underwood song about maybe he'll think again next time before he cheats.
I drove my keys into his jacked up.
And they are arm in arm. They all have their arms around each other's shoulders.
Don't you judge me.
Can you repeat that?
Can you do that again? I know. It's committed to data. It's fine. Anybody who wants to hear it again can rewind.
And so
I can't rewind.
Every time it gets to that line where it's like, maybe he'll think again next time before he cheats. Wife looks off and looks at me dead in the eye.
What?
Girlfriend has her arm around friend, is pointing at him and winking at him. And meanwhile, me and Brian are literally on the ground, rolling around, laughing as loud as we possibly could, because this is the most ridiculous thing that has ever happened.
How many people are in this bar?
Like, oh, dude, it's packed.
Okay.
Like, it's a big bar. There's probably, like, 200 people in this thing while this is going on.
I've got to say, this sounds like an episode, like, right out of, like, a British comedy or something.
Oh,
like,
it's
like,
easy,
like, this
man.
Is from Coupling or
it
something.
It is so unreal. And so
it's
long
fantastic.
Story short, they did end up all three going home together, and now I believe husband and wife have since split, and husband and girlfriend are together. But so that it was a Thursday night. It was fun right after tour. So that was my tour story.
It's a Thursday.
My tour story was after tour was done.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's Tuesday.
Like, I wish I could go home and watch that story on Netflix.
Oh, God, man. Awesome. So I think that's a good story, but it's you had to be there, because if you were there, it would be even...
Yeah.
I can't express in words how batshit my night
was. It's a great story, but it's a story that literally could not be, like, topped by, unless you're there.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, I had so many people telling me, like, hey, if you didn't tell me this, and, like, I would say it was bullshit, but I know you can't make that up.
Yeah.
And literally the whole night, I was just walking around to random strangers being like, tell me this isn't life. Like, I'm asleep right now, right? I just went into, like, a post-tour coma, and this isn't happening.
I'm watching a theoretical episode of How I Met Your Mother, and this is the plot line of tonight, is just the most ridiculous... Yeah. Threesome of bullshit I've ever seen.
Plus, I kept having fat chicks in on me. That's been a problem over the past 2 months.
Dude, you have no idea.
I've gotten fat, so like, now I feel weird hitting on skinny chicks.
You are...
Look at this bean pole. I've gotten fat.
I put on a good 15, 20 pounds.
Woo! And it went straight to nowhere.
Just for the audio listeners.
It went straight to my dick. Thank you very much.
Colin is probably the skinniest person here right now.
Here, yeah. Not in the world.
I assume John's in the best shape. Are you still lifting?
I took a month off because I hurt my wrist.
So he's still in the best shape.
But again. I just got back into it and like...
Getting too swole.
Yeah, like, there's this YouTube video that I saw that is, it's my new excuse for being single, which is, like, girls don't like me because I'm too muscular. And I fully recommend that you check it out, because it's amazing.
That's great.
I still remember the day that I realized John was in great shape. Like, because John was in good shape for a long time, like, when I first met him, good shape. And then we were playing D&D one night, and he leans on his arm, just leans while he's sitting down, and I see the fucking veins pop out of his arm, and
so
I see
vascular.
The definition, and I'm like, and I turned to Too Tall Tom, and I'm like,
what just happened?
Yeah. I was like, dude, he was like, yeah, he's been lifting. And I was like,
he goes down in that basement and he starts lifting iron, and then he just transformed.
It's like alchemy. I don't even get it.
And then Tom was like, yeah, dude, he walks around the house without a shirt. It's fucking impressive. And I was like, I don't feel like a piece of shit.
Well,
now
see,
I do.
That
I
makes
do.
Sense, because, like, John Thomas has two states of being. Like, I've seen you, the first few times I met you, you were dressed up, like, nice. Like,
yes.
A governor.
I remember the suit, the suit period of John.
Yeah.
It's coming back. It's just too fucking hot, to do that shit, like... Right now.
Well, but so then the opposite of that is, you see him in a t-shirt and gym shorts, and then you're like, holy fuck, this guy's ripped.
For someone who's just met you tonight, when they're talking about the suit period, are we talking about, like, business suits, or, like, stylish, like Nick Cave in the Bad Seeds?
Like stylish suits.
I don't prefer to wear neutral colors. Oh, I prefer like brighter colors. Neutral colors work well for a lot of people. Like,
I only wear neutral colors. That's it.
Well, like...
Your beard guy.
If you have like a very classic looking beard and like facial hair, then neutral colors work really well for you.
So it doesn't draw away from the face.
Yeah. If you wear bright colors, you look like some sketchy promoter. You have cocaine. I'm gonna sign you to Universal Records if you have cocaine.
I'm that dude trying to promote DJ Skittles.
Skittles.
But like, I don't often wear suit jackets, but I love waistcoats.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay, very cool.
Because I've always felt like the guy that just goes out into regular public life in a suit. It's like really ballsy move, and like I take my hat off for that.
My favorite when you get dressed up for no reason is people are like, "Why are you dressed up?" It's like, "Do I gotta have a reason?"
You don't see how I look right now? Is this
like
not
how
reason
come
enough?
Girls can go out like a little looking, you know, like I want to look cute.
Sure,
look, fuck, I want to look classy.
The little black dress and the pumps and
yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's because girls actually do things.
Yeah.
When you're just sitting around playing Smash Brothers and Armani, it's a little weird.
Yeah, I played Smash again for the first time in forever the
but
other day.
Play,
it
I
was
don't
weird.
Play Smash, period.
I had fun playing Smash Brothers for the first time in a long time.
After James Bento.
What I love is going to the house in Greensboro out to Venture Compound for a party. Like a legit party.
That
like,
shit didn't happen until after I moved out.
Well, there was a party. There was a
St.
Patty's Day.
St.
Patty's Day. July 4th. Had you
moved
out?
Oh, okay. Like three days before
transition,
that.
Yeah.
I was like, hey guys, I'm officially moving out. And then they were like, all right, we're going to throw a party where blood and paint gets everywhere.
A lot of my blood.
The paint was from t-shirts.
A lot of
my blood. Will not go away, dude.
Yeah, I know.
The thing about that ink is it doesn't dry.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anytime you touch it, you become red. It's the cat in the hat. It gets everywhere.
Yep.
Anyway, walking into a party, like I walked into the birthday party most recently. I'm like, all right, man, party. Gorgeous tiki torches. Like, there's kegs in the back.
Looks
like,
classy.
I'm 27 now. Like, I really shouldn't even be at this party because I'm 6 to 7 years older than everybody.
Dude, I went to a 21st the other day, and that was weird. I was like, I'm too old for this shit. I gotta go home.
And so I walk in, and then I walk to the back room. I walk to the back room, and there's just 8 dudes playing Smash. And I'm like, really? There are beautiful women on the side porch, and you're playing Smash.
Like taking their clothes off right now because they're so drunk.
You guys are not embodying the true virtue of Smash as a word right now.
And then little Babby comes up. I'm a pro rager. Go sit down and play Smash.
Oh, my God. I'm not even
going
to get into
that. I'm not going on that run.
No, I'm not going on that run.
Think pro ragers when you come back from tour and then
witness the destruction of a marriage.
Yeah.
Actually, I think this might be a good time to actually fill in since we've done a couple story time things.
Sponsors.
Sponsors. We're sponsored by Stone Brewing. Send me shit.
There's a couple things going on tonight that I would like to kind of fill everybody in on, I guess, before they happen and kind of during.
What's happening?
Well, first thing is I believe I'm going to take another page out of Kevin's book here with his podcast. We're going to do, since he's here, I think I'm only going to do this when he's here so I don't kind of snipe this from him, but we're going to do Drink or Drunk.
What is Drink or Drunk? Drink what is this?
Okay, so where you're at in the podcast, Drink or Drunk is something that usually happens
towards the end of the podcast, which we will do at the end.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 podcasts ago, maybe a little bit longer, we changed that, though. Just out of the virtue of Fletcher and myself, and mostly myself, getting hammered at the start of the show, and then being drunk for
I remember hearing the first episode where you were drunk by the end, and, like, everyone was pointing out you were drunk by the end, and you were just like, I almost spilled my beer. Then it just picked up from there.
Right. Yeah, now it's just kind of like, okay, well, Kevin's going to have to hang out at the shop for another hour after the show's over before he can drive home. But, yeah, so Drink or Drunk, the way we do it on the Three Beards is pretty much every show, Fletcher and myself, we're in-house recording at Storm Pro Comics, and then the third beard, Robert's coming over Skype.
Just the most miserable microphone. You can hear his fucking fan blowing. So you
wait, is it a U fan?
Dude, you can hear his laptop fan going...
Yeah, it's like a Learjet.
Like
the
back in the 90s when they thought it was a good idea to put your microphone in the middle of your keyboard.
Yeah.
So you're like typing, and you're like... Click, 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 click.
Oh, man, it is so miserable to keep hearing it over top.
Anyway,
but yeah, so Fletcher,
we love your podcast, Kevin. Please continue.
Thank you. So Fletcher and myself are the only ones on the show that'll drink. Robert's always got a Mountain Dew. But what we'll do during this segment is every episode we'll bring a brand new beer that's never been on the show before.
Right.
So, I mean, it could be like as simple as a Budweiser that's been around forever, but it's just got to be on the show.
Beers. The king of beers.
The king of beers.
And the American beer.
And that's actually something we referenced on our first episode of Why Not Weekly was the king of beers.
Because we were drinking Budweiser.
Because we were drinking it.
But so what Drink or Drunk is we'll taste the beers, we'll talk about the flavor a little bit, maybe give you a description of what the label's like. You know, we get into it a little bit. And then ultimately we either give it a drink, which is like a thumbs up, or a drunk, which is like a thumbs down.
So only drink it to get drunk.
Yeah, look, drink it once you are drunk.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm like a guy like...
Because you can't taste that shit anyway. So.
Even if a beer like tastes... okay to me, like I'll still like take price in as a factor too.
Yeah,
like if you're just drinking like an okay tasting beer but it costs you like $12 for a 6-pack, no
that's
that
a
is
drunk.
A drunk.
Yes.
Yeah, even though it didn't taste terrible, just
well, yeah, let's
so
go
try to get the whole picture.
Let's go around the horn and do that, because I'm drinking a fancy beer.
Yeah, actually we'll do it at the end,
because
actually John, if you want to take a taste
drinking.
Of each of these,
I won't be surprised if you drinking
want.
That
yep.
I won't be drinking this.
We'll tell you right now, this Busch Ice tastes like Windex.
Oh, college. Worst beer I've ever had on our show, Ice House Edge.
Oh, God.
You know, that, the worst beer I've ever had.
You had to know that was a terrible decision on the get-go.
The worst I've ever had, and I do drink it from time to time because it's a quick drunk, Earthquake.
I've never had it.
It's made by Four Brewing, the same people who make Four Loko.
Okay.
It is a 12%. They call it a lager.
Wait,
I call it bullshit.
Does Four Brewing actually brew anything? It sounds like they just distill malt liquor.
Well, it is a malt beverage.
Okay.
It's malt liquor, basically.
If we're doing that, then and we're going around the horn with shit beers, I'm going to throw in my 2 cents on the worst beer I've ever had.
Mine is definitely, it's because it comes in a tall boy. And it's about $1.20.
His hands in the shape of what I would consider to be about a 60-ounce beer right now.
No, I don't
think it's any tall boy I've ever seen.
It's not to scale. It is a 24-ounce tall boy. I suck at scale. And it tastes like... Just take the worst rot gut you've ever had and maybe some paint thinner with just a handful of yeast. Just throw it. It's just so... And it tastes like the metal that it's in. It's so bad.
The absorption.
But then you get halfway through it and you want to fight your dad, so you don't really care anymore.
Man. Okay.
Did any of you ever try the Walgreens beer when it was out?
No. Oh, Big Flats. Yeah,
Big Flats? I've had
Big Flats. I almost bought a six-pack of it tonight when I picked up
Smokes. We talked about Big Flats.
I think Big Flats is the worst beer I've ever had because, like, I had half a can and I had a headache immediately. Like,
it's me and Ice House.
And I just couldn't do anymore because I was mad and I had a headache and I wasn't drunk because I was drinking, like, carbonated water.
Basically.
But
at the price point, I'm getting a little loud.
At the price point, you go with Genesee Cream, which is tolerable.
Genesee Cream is very,
okay,
very
like
tasty.
We're gonna go with Chris. I'll end on it.
My worst beer, and this, I guess, there's people who may like this. Sam Adams Winterfest.
Oh,
really?
God, it's terrible.
Is terrible.
I haven't had it, but I can't imagine Sam Adams coming out with a shit beer.
That's what I thought, and I think that every single year, and I drink one just to throw it back up.
Oh, and their cherry wheat is piss water.
That's really unfortunate.
But Sam Adams is a major brewer that still thinks they're a craft brewery.
Yeah.
They really are.
So the problem with the Winterfest is, one time I bought one with my buddy Jacob. We bought a 12-pack, and we're like, this is just a bad batch. We're going to send it back. And so we did. But they sent us another one that was just as bad.
Fire Spinner Jacob?
Yes. Ran away and joined the circus.
Yeah. I love that kid.
But like, I'll be out to
him.
Bars, and then they'll have beer reps there. Like, have you tried Sam Adams Winterfest? Like, yeah, I don't like it. Well, you've never had it on draft before. Like, oh, I'm pretty sure I have. Now here, drink some. And then I drink it, and I'm like, this is kind of terrible. And I'm like, you have your work cut out for you, don't you? And they're like, yeah, this is our busy season. Like, we actually managed to go out to a lot of bars to try to sell this beer to people.
I was actually friends with a beer rep when I was working a lot downtown.
He
would text me and tell me what bar he was going to be at that night, giving away free beer.
So I would
show up and drink his beer. That way he would have more beers that he gave away. I'm not going to turn down free beer, even if it is Shock Top.
Yeah,
I like Shock Top.
Fuck you,
dude, you know how I am.
InBev, man.
Well, okay, just so everyone.
Do you need a new tampon? Are you good?
Well, I'm just going to throw this out there.
It's a regular lemon candy. Shock Top.
No, okay, we're not going to give that away yet, but I like those.
No,
the thing.
I liked it too.
First of all, alcohol itself, other than like a few liquors, like rum and gin, sit really well with me. Everything else doesn't really.
Yeah.
I can have about 3 or 4 beers and then my stomach starts to hurt. I get a really bad headache. I don't get drunk. It just hurts really bad. Liquor milkshake works amazingly well. I actually took a bartending course and I have a couple drinks I make, and one of them is called the liquor milkshake, and it's delicious.
It's liquor, ice cream, milk.
It's not even, you don't even need ice cream. It's just, you can use heavy cream and it's fucking amazing.
Sounds really good.
It's really awesome.
We used to drink them after hours, and then I'd drive home.
Yeah. We're going to.
There is a statute on DUI, right?
They can't just be like, we heard on your podcast.
I was wondering about that, because I've got
some
really good stories that may or may not be felenities that I want to know if the statute of limitations came up for
you. I can't imagine that anyone that would listen to the podcast, even cops, would be like, oh, I'm worried about that. They'd probably be like, good thing you got away with that.
Disclaimer, anytime I say I drive drunk, what I meant is I got a taxi and got home safely. I just slipped up in the conversation to keep the podcast moving.
Because who wants to hear about responsible people?
So to kind of keep the little preface going, like, and my mom actually has the same thing I do. We have a slight wheat allergy.
He's got the worst allergies on the planet.
I have anything airborne will kill me. Cats will kill me. Marijuana actually, like, it hits me so hard because it's
He's allergic to wheat hops.
Yeah, I'm allergic to wheat hops and marijuana.
Oh my
God. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh. So heavy beers just destroy me.
Yeah.
I can't do them.
You can't do IPAs either.
And here's where my worst beer ever comes in. And this is actually going to segue really well into what I want to talk about next, which is actually a discussion conversation among all of us that I think will be really good because I think everyone kind of relates to it a little bit. The worst beer I've ever had. I bought it right before a party at Tuba House in Greensboro. Kevin's the only one that doesn't know what Tuba House is here, and some of the viewers won't either. Tuba House is a house where a bunch of our friends lived.
My basement.
And guess what they played?
Yeah.
Tuba.
Hey!
Yeah. When the first people who moved into the house moved in, they all played tuba. And then right next door to them, a bunch of more tuba players moved in, so they called that one Nuba. New Tuba. But it's kept the name Tuba House the whole time, and now no tuba players live there.
And then as a collection, all of those Tuba House, Nuba House, Tree House.
Yeah, they're the trifecta of those three houses with friends of ours.
That's Pallet Town.
Yeah, that we call that Pallet Town.
It's like a whole city block almost.
Yeah, and all of our friends, we name the houses we move into. John lived in Beard House. I lived in the Venture Compound. We had friends in Poop House, Robot House, and Fuck You the House.
Poop House.
We'll get to that story. That's a story. All right. There's a story there. It's not as good as the shit in the treehouse story.
Shit in the treehouse.
You'll have to listen to his podcast for that one. I'm not going to just tell it on here because you need to listen to his podcast. It's really good.
It's episode 3 or 4.
Yeah, it's. I think it's 3 because that's when Robert does his.
Okay, shitty beer.
Or maybe it's 2. But anyway, shittiest beer ever. I bought this beer as a joke right before I went to this party. It's hipster IPA. Says it on the fucking can.
It was you, me, and Youngblood.
Yeah, it was.
We went to Best Way.
And we got hipster, and I got hipster IPA. Worst fucking beer I've ever had.
And I love IPAs.
And it just tastes like hops. There's no other flavoring to it.
Chris, you could go grab a lemon and a handful of dirt and mash them in your mouth, and that's about what it would taste like.
I've eaten raw hops before. I wouldn't suggest it.
It's worse. It's got to be worse because there's liquid with it, and so it has to stay in your mouth longer because the liquid soaks in, and you're just like, someone give me turpentine.
We just passed it off. We just passed it off.
Really strong hops is like really hot sauce.
Yeah.
Does not go away.
And also you have to build a fucking palate for it. You know what I mean?
That's worse.
But I'm actually over IPAs. I don't know.
Yeah, I have to level grind to enjoy my
beer. That's how I felt when I first started drinking beer.
Grinding this dogfish head, trying to get up to hipster.
IPA barons.
And that actually is going to segue into something that I thought about thinking or talking about because of Kevin's podcast, where he gets called a hipster, which I think is just absolutely ridiculous.
What does that mean?
Exactly. That is where I'm going with this. The word hipster to me has completely lost its meaning because when it first came out, it had a specific, it had a look to it, it had an arrogance about it.
In the 50s.
In the 50s.
40s.
Yeah. And the 40s? Like, yeah, it was the speakeasies, the guys standing the jazz cats standing right outside the clubs that were just leaning on the wall, smoking a hand-rolled cigarette, that they were just too cool for school. And it was actually
James Dean
thing.
Before James Dean.
Yeah. And it was the thing where it was actually a good thing. And now, in my opinion, it has digressed into, I'm going to call anyone I don't like that I see in public a hipster.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they are. And the reason I say that is because, for those of you listening in who don't know what I look like, I have a very large beard, I have long hair and a ponytail, lots of piercings, lots of tattoos, I'm kind of chubby, and I just wear normal, just completely nondescript clothing all the time, like blue jeans, a t-shirt, whatever, and sometimes just like a flannel. My friend Bam, is a short black kid with a high top fade and braces and thick rim glasses who wears like tweed and skinny jeans and like corduroys and boat shoes. And I am standing out there with him for 30 minutes. One kid runs by us and he's just talking to us and he calls me a hipster. And I just laugh about it. And he leaves. And then another kid like 20 minutes later comes up and he calls Bam a hipster. And I'm standing next to him and I'm like, there is no fucking way that this word can have any meaning at all anymore. It's just not possible.
And I will say,
drove me nuts.
As a bit of a disclaimer for that, the area we live in does tend to have more people that at least with what I would associate to be like hipster fashion.
Yeah.
Because all our friends come in from out of town and they're like, you're calling people hipsters, but everybody here is a hipster.
Yeah.
And like they're from like Jersey. And it's like, okay, clearly we have a very different aesthetic
here
than the place like South Jersey does.
If you look at people in like, you look at people in like Williamsburg. The people who live in Williamsburg like 7 years ago
are all Jewish.
I'm talking about gentrified Williamsburg. Thank you very much. You look at the people in Williamsburg, like when I was up there back in 2007 was the last time I was up there. That's sad. I need to get back up there. I got to check in with the pulse. They were that's when I walked. I was like, these are hipsters. And then like it's just now catching up down here and they're dressing the same way they were. It's sort of like Japan and Paris in terms of fashion. Like, it starts there, and then it disseminates out. And those motherfuckers are hipsters.
So here's my definition.
You know, the people who are walking around with Walkmans and Discmans listening to Belle and Sebastian from 12 years ago.
No. I disagree with that. Those are indie kids. I feel like this is where this was getting to, since you were kind of introducing a bit. Yeah. I think that it seems like we're kind of like, how do you define what hipsters
are? Yeah.
So I've got two definitions. One's very respectful, and the other one I have very little respect for.
Okay.
The first of which is the one I'm more respectful of is, and this is kind of unfair because the hipster connotation doesn't fit these people anymore, but I feel like they really just defined what hipsters became.
Mm-hmm.
People who were out in, you know, San Francisco doing tech startups, and they grew up with a certain thing, and they're a very certain group of people, very similar to us in personality,
mm-hmm.
who probably have strong beliefs about certain things, and also grew up kind of in what we would consider to be like geek culture.
Yeah.
And they're starting these companies and now they have money and can do really cool things that people don't really do because it's like, oh man, I grew up and I love this video game, so now I have like a bunch of money, I'm gonna have a room in my house that's just Mega Man. You know, I'm gonna fill it up with pinball machines.
Yeah.
And so there's that.
It's retro.
And those same people though, but they have a very strong, like they really believe in local. And they really believe in, like, organic, good thing or not.
To an extent.
They believe in something.
Part of my roof just fell on me.
I heard it.
And that started with people who actually strongly believed in something being who they are.
Yeah.
And so that leads into the negative connotation I have of what a hipster is, which is just, you have to think of what, like, a geek is or what a nerd is. And those are types of people who are incredibly passionate about something to a point of it being alienating. And that can be anybody. Absolutely. That can be a fantasy football dude.
Yeah.
You just should go out to a bar and all he's talking about
you can be
is,
a sports nerd. Like,
absolutely. You really can.
Yeah.
And, like, I can go on rants about pinball or science fiction for days.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm so passionate about it that I just, like, it turns people away.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like being Batman.
And so the problem with that, and the reason we all look down on hipsters...
You guys will get along.
...is because what we call hipsters and the spread of hipster culture is people who saw the people in San Francisco starting to do these things and be like, oh, well, that's really cool because these people have money and they're defining what cool is, when really it's these things that we've gotten chastised for our entire life, or something that maybe is mainstream that other people just don't relate with on a personal level.
And
so when you find a person who's just posing as that, it's very incredibly irritating.
Just like you're talking about, and you know, fucking Chris Hardwick has done this, talked about this on the Nerdist for a million times. Anybody who listens to the Nerdist knows this. It can't go one, two episodes without discussing with the definition of nerd or geek. And it gets a little frustrating, but it's absolutely true. Like, I've been letting my nerd, hipster, whatever flag fly for however long.
Yep.
Right. And now it's a part of mainstream culture. And yeah, it feels a little poserish.
Wonder, though, is, and I'm really, I don't call people hipsters too quick until I start to talk to them to something like, oh, I'm really into this. And it's like, oh, so am I. We can have an awesome conversation. And then they can't.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Clearly you're a hipster. But, like, D&D is real bad about that.
Yeah.
It
has those moments.
The thing is, I wonder if it hasn't been something that's always been a part of comic culture. Because comic books are cool. Comic books are cool. People like comic books. But for whatever reason, someone decided one day that on paper, comic books are not cool. Or video games are not cool.
Yeah.
And so everybody in our generation grew up with that stuff. And so then when somebody says, like, oh, well, I was into that before it was cool, it's like, yeah, well, so was everybody because it was always cool and there was just some jock-ass douchebag who didn't like you in high school.
Yeah.
Man, my take on hipsterness is interesting because when I was a sophomore at UNCG, I roomed with somebody who a lot of people qualified as a hipster. And, like, the way he dressed, he, like, always wore jeans and always wore a jean jacket and, like...
It sounds actually pretty cool.
And
it sounds like a Canadian tuxedo.
It sounds like we're all Canadian tuxedo, yeah. But, like, and he always had the same hat he liked to wear. And, like, I don't think that your dress is particularly indicative of whether you're a hipster or not, because, like, so many people have qualified what a hipster is by looks in so many different ways, that to me, a hipster is, like, a particular attitude, which is mostly negative to me. And, like, the quintessential story...
I'd have to agree with that.
The quintessential story I can use to describe this person's attitude was, I was in my room, and I was listening to, an album I really like, which is it's The Mix Up by the Beastie Boys, which is
fantastic.
Which is an instrumental album for those of you who don't know. You should check it out. It's a lot of fun.
That's the import only.
I don't know.
Okay, sorry. See, there he goes.
But my hips fell out. But
my EP just grew.
I was listening to it, and he asked me what it was, which I suspect is indicative of him being interested in the music.
Yeah.
And I told him what it was, and the first thing he did is he went on to pitchfork.com to look at the ratings, and then he goes, this is only a 6 out of 10 or something, and I was like, well, if you like it, who gives a fuck? Like,
yeah.
Who gives a fuck what the rating
is? God, that's infuriating. I was so excited about the new Slave Owls album, because it was just getting the best previews everywhere that I heard, and I was like, this is a steaming pile of garbage.
Yeah.
Sorry, if your taste barometer is somebody else's review of an album, then you're fucked.
And the guys at Rolling Stone live in such a bubble, and Pitchfork and Rolling Stone and Spin, they just live, and they say some good stuff, but they live in such a bubble that what they view as good is just what their community views.
Well, obviously, somebody likes, you know, I'm going to be honest, I'm really into the new Katy Perry song. That new Katy Perry song, Roar, it's catchy as hell, it's fun to listen to.
The one with the Eye of the Tiger thing?
I don't know. She dressed up like a boxer.
I think I heard it on the radio on NPR today, and me and my dad were just like, why?
I doubt you would hear Katy Perry.
No, it was on NPR.
Was it?
Afterwards, they said, the new Katy Perry song that you just heard. And my dad was like, why is this
today's
on
Saturday? Here? They do Sound Opinions. They play everything from Katy Perry to Dead Kennedys.
But my thing is like, the person who... there is no true objectivism when it comes to stuff like that.
No.
You can't expect album reviews, especially on Pitchfork, Spin, Rolling Stone, to be truly objective. They hire, for lack of a better term, those people, hipsters, to review those specific albums. So somebody who likes Sleigh Bells is not going to be necessarily open to somebody who likes a good, catchy pop song.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm just as guilty as the Pitchfork people, though, because I love to tell people how the things they like are terrible and bad.
Yeah, I've been trying to break that habit too, but I'm really bad about telling people that their taste in music is shit. Yeah.
But when you like Nickelback, I'm going to tell you
shit. Here's the thing. This is unpopular, so. But even Nickelback, like, they put out Rockstar. It's a solid song. Or, like, I listened to the new Nine Inch Nails single. It's not out yet. I heard it on the NPR website. And it's really poppy. It sounds like Trent Reznor's been listening to way too much Tegan and Sarah. And so, like, it's really good. And whenever I play it for somebody who doesn't know it's Nine Inch Nails, they're like, oh, this is kind of cool. I like it. It's poppy. It's catchy, but it's still kind of indie. But then when I'm like, hey, this is a new Nine Inch Nails track, they're like, oh, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah. I will say
a downward spiral.
I'll actually say this. I actually had the closest I've ever been to being fired for personal reasons was because I told my boss I hated his favorite band.
What? Just tell me the job.
It was at Jimmy John's. And I told my boss, who was like, he was in his like mid-30s, that I hate Pearl Jam. And I was like, dude, I can't stand Pearl Jam. Eddie Vedder sings in the key of R. And I can't. And I can't take it. But then I was listening to the local actual rock station, 106.5. And they were like, the new Pearl Jam song's coming out, and it's really different.
Mind Your Manners.
And he was like, it's kind of punky.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'll stick around for this. I didn't want to. In my back of my brain, it was like, it's going to be shit. Just turn it. It's going to be lame.
Part of the problem with that is
who lives in the back of your brain?
Probably a very, very angry man who talks like that.
I'm pretty sure it's just Grumpy Grandpa.
It's Grumpy Grandpa.
Pearl Jam fell into the trap.
Einstein lives in the back of your brain.
Yeah, my dog lives in
the back. Pearl Jam fell into the trap of post-grunge.
Yeah.
Because back at the time, there were a lot of grunge bands I really liked.
Yeah.
And then you started to get your Nickelbacks, not Creed, because they were kind of in that, but... or Theory of a Dead Man. And it's like, I've just heard the same crap so much that the stuff Breaking that Benjamin, influenced blah, blah, blah. Them
3 Days
that was good, they've now ruined.
Yeah, like, well, I love Soundgarden. Think they're fantastic. Yeah. But to finish the story up just really quick, I heard the new song, and I like it.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. He's got the grunt, or he's got the really, like, gritty punk voice going.
Right.
And it's just, and usually I'm not a big fan of, like, punk and, like, the original, like, post-hardcore punk and stuff like that. Chris knows. I'm just not.
That's
fine. I don't listen to pop punk or anything like that. But it was a song that actually took a band I hated and a style I'm not super, like, fond of.
Right.
And it made a decent song. And I'm willing to admit that, even though I'll say, to the day I die, I think Pearl Jam should just fucking give it up. Because
right.
I can't do it.
Well, I'll say I am a Pearl Jam fan, but only really the first two albums. 10 and Versus, I thought were really great. And then it just kind of got boring.
Producing.
Like, hey, we've got, like, $1 million now, so
yeah.
We're not really
trying.
Completely
trying
lost
anymore.
Touch with what we originally were
yeah.
trying to do.
But
I'm going to let you guys fill space, and I'm going to go pee.
Yeah, but to me, the new Pearl Jam song, I don't want to go on this for very long, but it was almost like a callback to what I think made those first two albums, really, because it sounded so raw, and gosh, I hate when people use this word, but I've heard it so much, it sounds honest. You know, it's like
yeah.
they weren't just like, we're going to write a song that's going to sound this certain way because this
yeah.
is what sold before. They were like, I really got the sense that this was a song that they would want to listen to.
Yeah, they weren't
you
trying
know?
Too hard.
Exactly. I think that's what Mind Your Manners is. To
so,
me.
What Fulmer said brought up an interesting point to me, though, is the going back to the hipster thing, like, to me, part of what's aggravating about that is, wow. Gone.
The end. Interesting
man.
Thing about
something,
history.
Something you
oh.
said. Oh, go ahead.
People are so close-minded about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem, is when someone tells you your favorite band's crap, and then they're listening to something like Belle and Sebastian that I'm not fond of because I don't really like slow music, and
yeah.
I'm like, well, what makes that better than this? And they just say that, you know. And I thought of an example, too, talking about, you were talking about fashion a little bit, John, that I was at a show one time, and I, unlike Fulmer, I really am into, like, hardcore punk, earlier hardcore punk, and there was a kid with a Black Flag shirt on.
Sure.
This is the first time I experienced a hipster, as I define it, I suppose.
Oh, no.
And I just walk up to this kid, like, yeah, Black Flag, that's awesome, like, punk's coming back, this is cool, people are wearing leather jackets, yeah, dude.
Back
patches. I was like, who's the best singer, Keith, Dez, or Henry? He's like,
who?
Henry Rollins is the singer from Black Flag, like, excuse me? Like Keith Morris, Circle Jerks, come on, man. What are you doing with your life right now?
Well, and that's more the poser aspect
yeah.
that really comes into it. It's like, I saw this at American Apparel, thought it was cool. That's
the
Damage
was,
logo.
And I don't expect right. you, if you're just getting into something, I don't expect you to not wear the stuff or
yeah.
not that. But when I start talking to you about it, don't act like you know something. Like, act like,
sure.
oh, yeah, dude, this is this band I really like, and that clearly you know about them, so tell me.
Well, it's like we could go to the mall, well, not right now, but tomorrow when it opens up, and see, like, 15 Misfits t-shirts.
Misfits are the worst for that.
Yeah, how many people, though, do you think are really, like, going home and listening to Misfits on vinyl or whatever? No, they, I'm sure some of them probably are, but a lot of them are like, oh, well, that's a cool skull, you know?
I had a guy tell me,
this is a band?
I love the Punisher. Wait,
The craziest thing happened the other night. My dad and I were watching TV, and this new Sailor Jerry's commercial that's been all
mm-hmm.
over the air. It uses the Misfits song
yeah.
Where Eagles Dare. And so I'm singing along. We walk the streets at night. My dad's like, how do you know this? What is this? I'm like, it's the Misfits, Dad. And he's like, yeah, but that's from like 81. How do you know that? I'm like, same reason I know Rush, Dad.
It's good music.
You
yeah.
educate yourself on it. And you don't just wear, like, I'm not going to go out and wear a Linda Ronstadt shirt just because I think it's funny.
I want to hear Kevin's and Colin's opinion or definition, the hipster definition, since we never got
yeah.
Gosh, my definition. Oh,
my or at least just weigh in.
I think I might have my definition, though.
Cool.
Because mine is also very much so tied into to the comic book industry.
Yeah.
So my personal definition of a hipster, and I realize I'm completely biased because I'm surrounded by these people all the time, are the people like, hey, man, did you go see that new Spider-Man movie? It sucked. And you go, like why did it suck? Man, they completely changed everything. Like, that gets under my skin so bad. It's like,
my question is, what did they change? There's Gwen Stacy, Uncle Ben dies, Peter Parker becomes Spider-Man.
The new one is so much closer
yeah,
than the
I know,
old one.
I know, but they'll
it's
pick
so
up on,
good.
Like, the smallest things. Like, you know, whatever. He doesn't eat pancakes, you know, he eats waffles or something like that.
Doesn't skateboard.
Yeah, exactly. It's so dumb because my position on something like that is, I'm
concerned about comics all the time. I know what's going on in comics. But at the same time, if I want that exact story, I'll go back and I'll read that.
Right.
Comic.
Part of what's cool about it is that they can keep reinventing it.
Yeah.
Ultimate Spider-Man starts with them playing basketball instead of them playing football because basketball is more relevant to what they're trying to portray.
Right. All I care about is if the movie is good. If it's a good, I don't care if it's a good adaptation of this comic book. I just want
as long as they don't shit all over it.
Exactly. Yeah. As long as I'm walking away.
As long as it's not X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Right. As long as I'm walking away from the theater going, you know what? I was entertained. I'm cool with it. You know, change whatever you know it is that you want. As long as the final product is good.
Man.
But to me, that hipster is like that guy that's just like, oh, they changed this one thing that happened in this panel in this comic.
But that's more like, fanboy. That's more...
Yeah,
that's,
I think maybe I confused
it. But I mean, it's close.
But to me,
it very much is close.
It starts to blend in a little bit because the hipsters are the same thing. Like, I liked this before. It was cool. Like, that's like the...
Yeah.
Kind of, to me, the foundation.
I think fanboy leads into hipster really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, they're two sides of the same coin.
Fanboys are the worst.
Like, I mean, you're talking to a fanboy. Boy, we are the worst.
Yeah. Like, you people.
in the worst way I can
casually
say.
Casually excludes himself.
Like, I try hard to keep my fanboyism in check at all times, because, like, you see it everywhere. It's, like, if you're on the internet, you'll see fanboyism.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Ben Affleck is the new Batman.
I'm
okay with it,
Ben Affleck is the new Batman. The new Pokemon evolution, like, super mega evolution thing, it's, like, it's garbage, and, like, and I won't have my childhood changed whatsoever, and I'm
just
so mad about
it. Just play Red and Blue and shut up.
Like, it's just because we exist in a state of arrested development.
Well, humans don't like change.
No, we don't like change. We fucking hate it.
Like, I totally understand. I understand when you like something and you love it so much and, like, you don't want it to change, but, like, but you gotta calm down with that shit, man. Like,
here's a good example.
You can't dictate that the thing you love is immutable by the people who create it. Like, that's ridiculous. You don't own fucking Batman. You don't own Pokemon. You don't own, you know, whatever. Like, it exists in all things that people are really passionate about. And I understand it.
As soon as I hear about a new adaptation of something that I love, like American Gods is about to be turned into an HBO miniseries.
Excited. I need to read it. I haven't read it.
Dude, I'll let you borrow it if I can find it. I'm like, the first thing that pops into my brain, you better not fuck it up. Like, that's just the first thing that just pops into my... I can't help it. It's just the way I've been trained.
So there's two things about that, like, one is good and one's bad. There's okay, like, they fucked it up. Like, I think the original trilogy of Spider-Man movies was made to please a wide audience and not to please fanboys. I think we can agree upon that.
And when they tried to please the fanboys, they messed it up. Like, we're gonna have Venom, we're gonna have Gwen Stacy, and it's like, oh, you gotta do a terrible job with them.
But the thing about it, about it is that the material that they made does not change or hurt the original comic book series.
Yeah. No.
Whereas something like the Star Wars prequel trilogy damages and like blows the original trilogy into so many pieces.
Yeah,
and I think it's okay
to
be mad about the latter, but like I think people should calm down about the former.
The thing that aggravates me the most,
you bring up very good points
about fanboyism, is you talked about Spider-Man, you got my nerd boner at full mast, dude. I've got like 400 paper issues of Spider-Man I've collected throughout my life. Like, I fucking love it. And that's a comic that does reinvent itself a lot. And they've done a lot of things that were really unpopular and kind of rolled with the punches.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I get excited, like, well, not anymore because they're not doing it. But, you know, three Wednesdays a month, I'm like, I have a new Spider-Man comic in my hands right now. And I get to read this new story. And maybe it's an old story. They're just bringing it back and shedding a new light on it. Or maybe it's something new. And so the fact that the fanboys like that, air quotes, are afraid of change, it kind of almost, to me, takes away from the essence of what that is. Because what's so exciting about this is that these characters have existed for 50 years, and they're still new and exciting every time get that paper issue, like, in your hand.
And also, it's driven from nostalgia. It's driven from, like, I don't want what I used to read when I was a kid to change.
But you don't want it to die, either.
No, of course not. No,
you know, it's a really weird, it's a weird thing for me, and I'm sure a bunch of people have noticed it talking to me in, you know, the past few years. I love the whole comic book thing. I really do. I love comic books themselves and all that. The thing is that, like, throughout my life, I never got to... You got to pull really hard on the handle and push down. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Colin's bad with doors.
Yeah, Colin doesn't know how to door. But I never really collected them. I had a few when I was growing up, not a whole lot. But, like, the thing is that I pick up on what all my other friends say about comic books, and then I'll read about the comic books. Right. Like, even if I can't pick the comic books up, like, I know a ton about Black Adam. Not because I own any of the comic books, but because I really liked what the first thing I ever heard about Black Adam. And then I just, like, went to the wiki page and, like, read some of the storyline stuff. And I was like, Black Adam is fucking, he's cool, and I like him. And the thing is that I will never have the kind of knowledge that, like, Colin has about Batman and you have about Batman. And really, Kevin has about all comics, probably, just because, I mean, grew up in a comic shop and all that. And Chris has about Spider-Man. And I actually don't know if John reads a lot of comics, because we've never actually discussed it.
Nah, but, I've never gotten into comics. Like, I don't hate them, but, like, I've never been introduced into them properly.
Yeah, so. I kind of got the same thing where I never got to, like, buy them and whatnot, but I had some really cool issues. Like, I talk about the couple that I've had that have been really cool. I've talked to Kevin about it, actually, a few times. I really love the Rumble in the Jungle, which is the Punisher versus Wolverine. That is a great issue. I highly recommend anyone who's able to read it to read it. My favorite one, and I've told him and a couple other people, my favorite panel... Or my favorite couple panels, three pages of comic books that I've ever read are Superman versus Batman 3. I think it's number 3. But it's the one where Superman gets mind controlled and Batman has to stop him.
Right. No, that's Hush.
Is it Hush?
Yep.
Okay. Well,
he gets mind controlled by Poison Ivy.
Thank God you came back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I say something wrong, please correct me. And I just pulled a piece of wood off of this bench. Just throw it out there. Yeah, that's cool. Because I remember I had it at one point, and I forgot what the cover was like, so I didn't remember the name or anything, but I had it at one point. And when I was flipping through it, I found one or three pages that I just loved, and it was Batman going into the Batcave, and he took his glove off, and he put a kryptonite ring on, and put his glove back over the hand, and he's like, see, there's a distinct difference between me and Bruce deep down.
Clark.
Or between me and Clark, sorry, I'm running, and it's kind of catching me. He's like, there's a big difference between me and Clark fundamentally. Deep down, Clark is a good guy. And then it's a smash cut to him in front of Superman, and his arm is cocked back.
Right.
And then the next panel is him just hitting Clark in the face, and it says, and deep down, I'm not.
Yeah.
And then it x-rays in on Superman's face, and the actual x-ray is like, the fist connect and the jaw breaking and three teeth flying out, and it's just the most badass thing I've ever seen. And yeah, I don't have the encyclopedic knowledge of comics and like superheroes and stuff that I want to or that I think I should have gotten over the years, but there are some certain things that I do love about certain comics that I think, you know, at least warrant me being able to be like, okay, well, I do like comics. Because I do get people who are like, you're not, like, a real comic book fan. And I'm like, I am. I'm not to the degree that you are.
And people don't understand the industry perspective of it, where people with subscriptions, I mean, keep the comic book business in business to a degree, but it's the people who are casual fans that really help it survive.
Yeah.
Right. If it weren't for people being interested, going to see The Dark Knight Rises and being like, man, I'm really interested in Batman, I'm going to go pick up a couple trade paperbacks and read about Batman. I mean,
Kevin's segment on trade paperbacks.
Are the things that almost single-handedly saved comics in the late 1990s, early 2000s.
And he did a segment on the three beers with his friends about like the resale value and the collectible value of all the things. And if you're at all interested in comic books, if you're not listening to The Three Beards, you need to be, because it's really good, especially for comic booky stuff, because you have Kevin, and it's encyclopedic knowledge. It's the way that me and John are about D&D, it's the way that Colin is about Batman, and you are about Spider-Man, and about sci-fi, and all that stuff. And it's really good to have that.
Have we moved on from the hipster conversation?
Yeah, I think we have. I actually...
graduated, I'd like
sorry,
to...
Sorry, Colin.
Well, it's okay. No.
Well, actually, you know what? No.
Mine answer is going to be rambling and ridiculous.
I mean, that's what we do.
The thing about being a hipster is it's an attitude to me. It doesn't matter how you dress, because if you looked at me how I dress, I could be a hipster one day. I dress I just wear what I like, but it's
the bumblebee. I love the bumblebee.
I retired the bumblebee.
Oh, bumblebee Colin was so good.
Being called
the bumblebee.
I used to wear exclusively black and yellow.
Yeah. Dude, bumblebee Colin was where it was at.
I really like to match. Like I
black and yellow shoes, black pants, black and yellow shirt, and then black and yellow hat. And I was just like, hey guys, Bumblebee Colin's coming by today.
I looked like a roadie for Stryker.
The most swag.
The most swag.
I still kind of dress that way, though.
I saw Stryper play.
It's a little more...
they were actually decent.
It's a little more subdued now. It's mostly just blacks or grays.
Muted color.
It's... I mean, the thing is like, if I see you in a plaid shirt with jean shorts cutoffs and riding a fixie, I'm not going to go, nah, that's a hipster.
Oh my god. Oh my god, I saw the most hipster thing ever in my life.
This is what I'm talking about. Are we talking about in Brooklyn?
No, this was in Greensboro.
Well, yeah.
Which is equally.
probably worse.
Bro.
But the thing is, guy... like, I don't assume...
Sorry,
no,
I have to.
No, tell your story.
This guy is riding a fixed gear bike.
Please tell me he doesn't know what he's doing.
A hardback book. Okay? While he's riding his bike.
You can't do that.
And you think, like, okay, if I'm doing that, like, I'm going to have one hand steering, I'm going to have the book propped up on the handlebars, like, glancing down at it, like you're reading your phone while you're driving. Don't do that.
I mean, at least he was...
I just swallowed a bug.
At least he was on a bike, so the only person who could die was himself.
But the best part of the story is... He had the book in one hand, flipping the pages with his thumb, no hands on the handlebar, and his other hand was just down by his side. Not on the bike, not on the book, just hanging there while he's reading the book.
That's impossible.
It was ridiculous.
That man is a Time Lord.
Two things pointing out. We actually apparently have to change the name of the podcast, just so everybody knows, because there is one with that name. We didn't realize until just now. But that's okay. We'll figure that out later.
Is it trademarked?
I don't know. We're about to find out. Because the person we asked to do the title design for us just told us that there is one.
Anyway.
But go ahead.
But the thing about a hipster is more of an attitude. It's more of like a, well, why? Because it's ironic. Like, why do you have a fucking mustache right now? Like, do you need a handlebar mustache? I always think back to that sketch from Portlandia that, you know, the dream of the 90s is alive in Portland, the dream of the 1890s. And it's just like, why? Is there something better? Is it just because you think it's fucking cool? Or because you saw everybody else doing it? It's not living for yourself. It's not being original, because it's not original. It's just...
Yeah, the weird thing about that, being passed around, to me, is...
Love
like
that fucking thing.
This, the whole, like, I'm trying to be ironic thing is so strange to me, because, like, in the more classic sense of a person being cool was someone who didn't really give a shit about, like, what other people thought of
exactly.
them. And so they were in a way, like, themselves. And that seems to have been perverted into this thing, like, I'm trying hard not to be caring about what other people think. So yeah, I'm wearing these silly things that
I'm trying
I don't really...
hard not to care. And that's...
Wait, yeah. We could call him Hipster Zero.
I think...
And so, I mean, I was the same way in high school. Like, I got really into, like, pop punk and emo, and I started dressing like a stereotypical emo kid. And because I thought I was being different, when really, I was just being reactionary to everything around me. I was sick of seeing the baggy pants, so I started wearing girl jeans from The Gap. It's the same way that the skinheads started against the hippies, by shaving their heads to rebel against the long-haired pieces of shit hippies, Alex.
Look.
Alex is
I got
speechless.
Nothing. No, I got nothing. I got nothing. I've got absolutely happen. Fucking nothing.
And so, I mean, if
well
you're
gonna, done, Kyle.
If you're gonna do something, at least have it be genuine. Is my thing. At least have it come from a place of originality and.
That's actually one thing I do appreciate about the hipster movement, and it's not the people in it, but what it's doing to society, is that since. Honestly, let's be real. People who have been cool throughout time, for the most part, have been trying to be cool.
James Dean, perfect example.
Yeah. And he was
but
cool.
You can't, and you can't. I've actually had that conversation with my dad. I'm like, name one person or thing cooler than James Dean.
Rock Hudson.
No, I'm sorry. Rock Hudson is not cooler. But the only thing I'd give you that was close would be Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson let his freak flag flop.
Yeah, there you
freak,
go.
Freak flag fly?
Fly.
So, what hipster's been doing that's good for society, though, is now
What is cool?
Say what?
That's the podcast name.
What is
fry,
cool?
Fry. Fry.
I can't even say. I'm gonna fuck it up every time if we name it that.
What is cool is to try and not be cool. And even though they're trying to look like they're trying to not be cool, people who try to emulate that really are going to be like, hey, there's this thing I do like.
Yeah.
And I think that ultimately that could be a good thing.
Yeah. At this point in time, we're at about almost an hour and a half. So I'm thinking, should we do the pick of the week? And then... Oh, it's affiliated with MTV.
We have to change the name.
But that's okay. I'm going to keep MTV. This episode.
They have
yeah, they got a legal team.
Well, yeah, we'll keep this episode just and we'll just we'll change it.
That just seems like more of a reason to call it that.
As long as when it's posted to the internet, as long as it's not called that, regardless of what is said, that it's called in the episode, that doesn't matter.
Hold on.
That's we can just edit it out. And
can we
like,
call it no, 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 Rome?
No, that's the
can
thing,
we just put with Rome at the end of it? Like,
no, no, no.
Sublime?
Because the way I was doing it, was YA instead of YOU for you.
Yeah.
So if it is different,
with some
maybe
SEO
it's enough.
Stuff probably too.
Maybe it's we'll enough. It but we'll see. But anyway, so I'm thinking what we'll do is we'll do pick of the week, and then we'll do I don't know if anybody else has a one true three, but I do. We'll do that, and then we'll do drink or drunk, and then we'll do plugs.
I thought we were going to talk about Ben Affleck Batman.
Yeah, I think we should do it next time because we're almost an hour and a half.
And here's the thing about Batman.
And we tend to ramble.
As we've learned, we can be talking about politics, we can be talking about religion. When somebody brings up Batman, it turns into a yelling match.
Yes, it does. Batman turns into a yelling match really quick. And we have two really huge Batman fanatics here. And this could be... But I think when we do talk about Batman, I think it should be these five people again.
Now I got Batman blue balls. I want to talk about Batman.
I did see... I know I'm talking about something we said we weren't going to talk about. I saw a potential... they don't know if it's real or not, but a character design for costuming of the Ben Affleck Batman, and he looked like a badass. So there's that.
Well, we are going to talk about that later. But I think what we should do is we should do Pick of the Week. And we're going to go ahead and I'm going to explain what Pick of the Week is to everybody that's listening. Each week, we are, at least me and Colin, and if our guests want to as well, they can choose their own things that they want to bring up. But me and Colin will choose two things, one each, out of a list of a band, an artist, a comic, a comedian, a show, a movie, pretty much like just this whole slew of things that we think people should check out. I've got mine and I've had mine for probably about 3 or 4 days now. I'm going to start with a band that I think everyone should check out. And I know it is a band that a lot of people have heard of, but a lot of people have only heard the 2 or 3 songs that come on the radio and MTV and such. Rise Against. If you have not listened to the old Rise Against albums, and then the middle Rise Against albums, and then the new Rise Against albums, you're not really getting the whole spectrum of them. They have an amazing progression of being like political punk to just being like really good rock and roll to being like kind of standout-ish like alternative rock. And it's really like it's a nice spectrum of things that they change from, and it's not just Swing Life Away. And the
thing
is,
it's a great song.
It is. It is a great song, but it is the like quintessential song that people think of other than like I Give It All. So they have this huge spectrum of things. And the Angels. And, like, because there's songs like Roadside that no one's ever heard that's a duet that's beautiful. And they have all these amazing songs. And also, I'm going to point out, they do really good charity work. They do fantastic charity work. And if you're going to, like, if you're going to, you know, endorse a band or whatever, it's good that, you know, they sound good because that's the main part of it. Sure. But, you know, like, to give that extra added thing, like, if they do great things for their community or for other communities, like, they have a huge foundation that they're part of. I don't think they started it or anything, but it's for the Katrina victims. That's still going on. Mm-hmm. So that's something I think everyone should look into. My cigarette almost went out, but that's okay. Colin, do you have a pick of the week?
I'm trying to think. I'm so behind on every...
If anyone else has a pick of the week, please chime in.
Personally, right now, I've just been going back and reading a lot of the old Grant Morrison Batmans. Yeah, I'm bringing it back to Batman, because that's what I've been doing.
Have you read the novel, the Grant Morrison novel with the Harley Quinn one? I wish I could remember what it's called. I read a little bit of it. I read the whole thing. But it was an issue they put out. You might know, Kevin.
That it wasn't actually illustrated as much. It had little illustrations, but it was actually like a short story novel kind of form.
I'm thinking...
And it was the first really dark perspective you've got of Harley Quinn, and it was amazing.
I think that's pre New 52.
Yeah. It was back when Grant Morrison was kind of just starting to become the household name, so to speak.
I actually need to point this out as well. There's one other section of the program that I don't have anything for tonight, but I know at least two people do. Something we call Go Home You're Drunk, which I'll let Colin explain when we get there.
Basically, I've been going back and reading a lot of the Batman RIP stuff, and pretty much his entire run, starting with Batman Incorporated number one, and up until its most recent ending, is just some of the best Batman that's ever been written. So if you're a comic book fan, if you're not a comic book fan, it's a great introduction to Batman in terms of the character as he is now, which a lot of people refer to as Bat God. He's pretty much the total package of Batman. He's a suave playboy, he's an amazing detective, he's a badass ass-kicker.
Yep.
And Morrison just has this way of bringing every bit of Batman from Bob Kane to Denny O'Neil into the character. And it's a really good way of learning the psychology of Batman. And then jumping into the New 52 with what Scott Snyder's doing. So basically go back and start with like Batman and Robin number one and just read.
Yep.
That's
so
my
good.
Pick. Yeah, that's one of my picks of the week.
Okay.
I think I've got another.
Anybody else have one?
I do.
John has one.
You were talking about music, and
yes.
Lately I've been listening to both of the Hugh Laurie blues albums.
Oh.
And if you have not heard that shit, and you like blues music, it is so good in such an unexpected way. So I would say check them both out. They're both phenomenal.
If those of you who don't know, and you should know by this point if you don't, but Hugh Laurie is the guy who plays House.
He's also, what's that movie with Stuart Little?
Yeah,
he was in Stuart Little. Stuart Little.
People don't actually realize this about Hugh Laurie, but when he's playing music on the show, he's playing music on the show.
Yeah.
He is one of the most phenomenal musicians, and he actually has a band with a bunch of other people who are on TV, and it's called As Seen on TV. And it's really good,
oh,
and you should check
that.
It out.
That's
yeah,
cool.
It's really,
what are
really good.
The albums.
The first one he put out is Just Let Them Talk, and the second album he put out is called Didn't It Rain.
If we have to rename it, I think we should probably go with Just Let Them Talk. I like that. That's good. Kevin, you have one?
Yeah. So anytime, I'll continue with the kind of the music theme, I guess.
Okay, we'll go with that.
What I was listening to right now is Faith No More. I was listening to their King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime album on the way here.
Very nice.
Really good stuff. That album, you'll get anything from, like, it was, like, in the mid-90s, so you'll get some alt-90s rock on there, but you'll also get, like, an R&B track is on there. There's, like, a Las Vegas lounge-type track on there. You'll get a little bit of death metal on there, and then it'll end with, like, a gospel-like.
That's another band that people only think about, like, one or two songs.
They only think about Epic.
Epic,
that's
the
only song they ever think about.
They have a lot of good stuff.
I remember...
It's because Mike Patton is a mad genius.
Yes, he is.
I remember the first time Faith No More came up when you were talking about it, and we were talking about music at the comic shop, and I was talking about how much I love 90s alternative.
Yeah.
And when I go up, I have a friend who works at King's Crab Shack, downtown Winston, and if you haven't been there, go there. It's amazingly delicious.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's pretty decent
but
seafood.
It is. I like it a lot, and it's not terribly overpriced, but, you know, seafood and this foreign land is kind of pricey. But whenever me and him are there, and he's managing, he'll turn on Pandora Alt Rock,
sure.
And that's all we listen to. And we play a game there, which is we, like, all, like, three or four of us that are sitting down, we'll try to guess the next artist that comes on. And if they get it right, then, like, we have to chip in and buy that guy a beer. So,
cool,
yeah. Chris, do you have a pick
of
the week?
I have two.
Okay.
It's funny, the comic book guy talked about music. I'm going to talk about comics. these are older, a little bit older comics. They picked them on Totally Rad Show back in the day, if anybody watched that. But I've just been kind of going back, and I've got a list of, like, bands and comics and stuff that I've heard a lot about, but I never got a chance to really look into.
Mm-hmm.
The first one on the superhero side of things is called, Incorruptible? And
Mark Waid.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
It's so good to have another comic book guy here. You have no idea.
Yeah, because I don't know.
I literally don't know what that is.
So the storyline follows...
I know Mark Waid. I don't know.
This guy, his name is the Plutonian. And it's basically, I can only imagine the pitch for the comic book was, what if Superman became a bad guy?
Ooh.
That's right. Yeah. They were just talking about that on Fat Man on Batman.
And Mark Waid also, not to interrupt you, but had a parallel opposite.
Irredeemable.
Irredeemable.
This is not, that's the other thing.
It was Irredeemable that I've heard of. Yeah.
And so Incorruptible follows, what if Superman was a bad guy? Right. But then you have to understand, there's only one person on the world that can stop this guy. And his drive for being a bad guy is money. And so then when it's not about money anymore, the tables flip and it's like, wait, now that guy went bad and he wants to destroy the world and I'm the only one who can stop him.
Yeah.
And so now suddenly...
I have heard of this.
He's trying to stop
You talked about
him.
It. I remember, yeah.
It's real good. The bad guy has a sidekick named Jailbait.
Ooh.
Like, it's
good.
It's
gotta be a Batman surrogate then. Really, no offense to, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's very much these stories that are mainstream heroes that you recognize who have just been renamed and reworked in stories that would never appear in the mainstream titles.
Yeah, those are great stories. And one thing with Incorruptible and Irredeemable is while there's a lot to them, they're not very long stories. Like, this isn't a volume that started back in 1964 and has been going on today. There's like, what, like 20-something, 30-something
something
like
that. Real easy to catch up on.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think they're both over now, too. So there's a start and there's a finish. And you can knock it out in a weekend and walk away feeling
like
really
I think,
awesome.
I think if
like
you're going to get into comic books and you want to, I think the best way to start is with stuff like that.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Don't think you
want
to start with stuff that goes back to
comics.
The beginning of like when DC was still known as Detective Comics.
God, no.
Let me tell you about when Stan Lee was born.
then he stole everyone's ideas.
The other comic I had to pick was at work every day, I watch Price is Right. And so they have these ridiculous...
I'm not mad at that, by the way.
I like
The Price is Right.
I love it.
Because you're just waiting for that one person.